God is a good God, isn't he? And aren't you glad that God knows what we need? God knows what is going on in our lives, and he can bring us right. He brings right to us what we need. Hallelujah. And we just put our trust and faith in him. And so tonight I'm going to speak on this. The title is, you could have several titles for my message tonight. First of all, you could call it, It All Depends. You could call it, What Picture Do You Fit In? Or you could say it this way, How Can I Change the Picture of My Life? And so I want to talk about, begin by just telling you about when I was a boy, we would lived on a farm, and my dad liked to go to the auction every Tuesday whenever the farm work allowed him to do that. And so we would watch us boys, we were small, and we'd watch him go. And one day I remember he came to us and said, boys, he said, would you like to go with me to town and go to the auction? Which was a big thing for us because we didn't get to go to town very often back in the day. And so we thought this was great. He said, it depends upon you guys doing what you're supposed to do on Monday. Because Tuesday we're going to the auction. And so he said, you see that fence row out there? He said, I want all the weeds cut out of that fence row on Monday. He said, you don't have anything else to do. You can do it any time during the day that you want to. Well, he went to go do something and had to leave and go do something. And so my brother and I, we got to playing around and we got to, doing different things and everything. And we looked out at that fence row every once in a while and said, we'll get there to it once, you know, after a while. And before we knew it, it was in the evening, time to milk the cows and time for Dad to come home. And when Dad came home, he looked out there. And he said, boys, he said, I was really looking forward to taking you with me to town. But I see that you didn't do what I said. And us, I remember my brother and I, we both grabbed a weed knife. We used to cut the weeds. I remember we finished that fence row with a lantern. You know what I'm saying? Dad made it clear that going to town depended on doing what he said. And so what we mean tonight by my title is, it all depends. Just like my dad said, it all depends on whether you get that done or not as to whether you can go to town with me. We did go to town with him because we got it done, but we did it in a little different way than what Dad had originally intended. So tonight, the word depend is a conditional word. It is a conditional word that means that a desired result is contingent upon someone or something meeting certain conditions. And so as you could tell by the story that I was telling you, that going to town depended on us meeting certain conditions. And so many times in the Bible, we find that God tells us things, but it's dependent upon or contingent upon meeting certain conditions. And so we're American people. We're here tonight, and if you're an American, then we're the free and the brave, our tendency is to think we don't depend on anybody. We don't depend on anybody. And the idea of depending on anyone or anything is sometimes a little foreign to the way that we've been brought up. But I want to tell you, sometimes that's quite a challenge when it comes to the Word of God. I remember as I was younger that I heard Frank Sinatra sing a song. He said, I did it my way. Anybody remember? Anyway, now I know you're not confessing right now that you listen to that kind of music, but I remember him singing that song. He said, "I did it my way." Well, what he's saying is, I wasn't dependent on what other people said. I did it the way I wanted to do it, and so sometimes that kind of attitude kind of creeps over, and if we're not careful, it comes along in our Christian walk, and that we're doing it my way. We don't depend on anyone. I can take care of this myself. I'm able to stand on my own two feet, and I just want to tell you tonight, encourage you tonight, that the word depend is a really critical word for us as we endeavor to walk the way God wants us to walk. God wants us to be dependent or contingent upon what God said, and getting what God said is contingent upon us depending on Him. And so sometimes I'm aware that people look into the Word of God. Have you ever looked at a scripture and thought, how in the world can I do that? How would that be possible? I think Pastor Hagin can take care of that, can do that, but I don't think I can. Or sometimes the Holy Spirit whispers something to you in your heart to do, and you kind of shrink back from the idea of that. Well, I've never done that. But I don't know if I can do that. I don't know how it would turn out. I don't know. And so sometimes people draw back, and then sometimes people look around and they hear what God said, but they look around at themselves, at their circumstances, their surroundings, the resources they have, and they shake their head and they say, it's not possible for me to do that. And you know, if that's all they look at, then they're absolutely right. Because doing what God said in His Word is not something that God intended for you to do by yourself. It's something that God intended for you to do as you depend on Him, as you rely on Him, as you trust in Him, as you do look to Him for the strength you need, the wisdom you need, the knowledge you need, the everything that you need. In other words, it means that while you're putting your hand to something, you're depending on Him. Amen? Can I get an amen? And so I want us to realize this. Jesus Himself said this. He said in John 15:5, He said this. He said, without, I'm just going to quote a portion of it. He said, without me, He said, you can do nothing. I can do nothing. None of us can do anything that He would consider of any value. And so that lets me know this, that there is no way possible for me to do what God says in His Word in the natural by myself. And so the word, but sometimes we really not willing to admit nothing. We don't like the idea of nothing. I thought about telling you I'm going to preach on nothing tonight and that's it. We'll go home. But anyway, I thought, well, maybe we need a little more. But anyway, the word nothing is a word that means zero, zilch, nil, not any, not one thing. It speaks of being barren or empty. Nothing. And so tonight, just to help us kind of grasp the reality of it, have you ever felt or been in a place where everything that you tried to do ended up in nothing? I mean, you did your best. You did what you knew to do, and you ended up with nothing. That's what Peter did in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, we see this incident where verse 4 and 5, let's read that here. It says, when Jesus had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to Him, anytime that you lead with the word "but," you know that you're probably not going to go very far. Do you know that? That means this. In other words, Jesus said one thing, but Peter is saying something that's contradicting to that. He said this. He said this, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught," say it with me, "nothing." Not one fish, not even a little one like this. Not even any that they threw back. Nothing. The boat that they're in is barren. Nothing. Toiled all night. Ended up with nothing. When I read that, and you get to that point right there, that's just such a picture of despair. I worked all night. We worked and worked and worked. We did everything we knew to do. We were at the right spot. We went to all the places we'd caught fish before. And nothing. Got nothing. Not a thing. They're just not biting. Or they're just not there. And so Peter, I'm sure, understands the word nothing, the reality of nothing, an empty ship. Empty boat. We didn't catch one fish. If you fast forward to John chapter 21, and you find after the crucifixion, Jesus was, not risen yet. And Peter said this. Well, it was after Jesus was risen even, that Peter made this decision. He made this statement, John chapter 21 and verse 3. He said, "I am going fishing." The language there, as the original language, indicates that he wasn't just thinking about getting away and having a little fun, relaxation, and just catching a few fish. The language there indicates that he was saying this, "I'm going back to my fishing business. I'm going back to my fishing business." In other words, what I've been following for the last 3 years, it doesn't look like it's working. Jesus is nowhere to be found. I don't know that I can do any of this. It actually ended up bad. I denied him 3 times. And so I'm probably, even if Jesus comes back, I'm not sure how he's going to react to me. So I think it's just better if I just leave, pack my bags, leave, and go back to fishing. And a couple other guys jumped in there of the disciples and said, "We're going with you. Good idea. Let's go. Let's start a fishing business." And so they got a boat. They went out there. They worked all night. And it says in John chapter 21, verse 3, "I go out fishing." They said to him, "We're going also." And they went out and immediately got into a boat. And that night they caught nothing. Have you ever planned something? Now, you don't have to lift your hand. Have you ever planned something and it came to naught, came to nothing? In other words, you said, look, you tried something, it didn't work, so you said, "I'm going to go do this. I just don't think I got what it takes to be over there." And then you went into the you went to do something else, and that didn't work either. And so what you have here is a picture again of Peter out there trying to fish. They spent the whole night out there, caught nothing. Their fishing business plans amounted to zero. Zero. Not even one fish. The boat stayed empty. Stayed empty. No fish in it whatsoever. Just the guys wondering what to do next. Here comes Jesus, and he came in both incidents, and he spoke up, and thank God the picture doesn't stay there. But my friend, listen to me. I don't know if you're in that picture right there or not. Are you in the picture you know, where the, in the first incident where Peter was there, and he really didn't know God. He didn't know Jesus. Jesus came and asked him. I mean, they were busy with their fishing business, and Jesus had a crowd there on the seashore, and he looked over there where they were cleaning the boats, and he said, can we use your boat for a little bit? And so, okay. And so they rowed out there, you know, a little further out into the water, and Jesus sat in the boat and taught the crowd. That's the first acquaintance that Jesus had, or that Peter had with Jesus. He didn't know Jesus personally. It's just a man that asked to use his boat. And then here we go. And you really realize this. Peter did not understand. I mean, he was an Israelite, a Jew, but you know, the power of God was not happening in the church, in their synagogues, or you know, when the religious leaders got together. They weren't healing the sick. They weren't doing miracles. They weren't seeing anything supernatural happening in the church. And so Peter was not acquainted with the power of God. So there he is out there fishing in that first incident, and he's at the mercy of the circumstances because he didn't know anything else. How many of you have, I grew up farming with my dad, and you know, and I just wish every farmer would read the book, the Believer's Authority. Because you do have authority over some things, over some circumstances. And so many times farmers just kind of, that I grew up with anyway, I can't speak for everyone because I don't know everyone, but the farmers that in the area where I grew up in, they just kind of had a, well, you know, we're just kind of, we hope it'll rain, but we don't know. We don't have any control over it whatsoever. We hope it'll be dry enough to harvest. But, you know, if the rains come, then, you know, you got to wait till the ground freezes to get it out. All of that, you know. And, well, I don't know. You know, we hope the rains come in the spring like it needs to. But, you know, it's not up to us. And so they kind of get this idea in their heads, and in my thinking, it came that way too. Until I started reading Brother Hagin's books on believer's authority and praying the prayer of faith, that seemed like everything was just up to the circumstances. That's where Peter was at. In the second instant, though, Peter had turned his back on following Jesus, and he said, I'm going back to the fishing business. I got my idea. That worked before, and I'm going back to it. I'm going to go back to that, and I'm going to do that. And so he set out to accomplish his own plans independent of God's, of what God had called him to do, and it ended up in nothing. The question I got to ask you tonight is, do you fit in the picture of nothing? That's where Peter was at, in the picture of nothing. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, to walk out of his will is to walk into nowhere. To walk into nowhere. Into no man's land. Into the place where there is nothing. And certainly it would be walking into the place where there is nothing of value for the kingdom of God if we're walking out of the will of God. I just want you to clarify, sometimes you got to get a clearer picture. You got to get a clear picture of the word nothing, the reality of that. Nothing. Nothing. It's kind of like looking in this room, not one pew. It's empty. Not one seat. You know what I'm saying? In this room up here, thank God for the balcony. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad, let me just tell you this, I'm glad there's another picture than just the picture of nothing. Go back to Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 6, where Jesus said to Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. And then he said this. Aren't you glad he didn't stop? He said this, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. In other words, I'm going to do what you say. In other words, in the natural, I don't think it'll work. Look what we did all night. We did that all night. But since you said so, we'll go do it. I don't know how he was able to persuade his crew to go out into the deep in the middle of the day or whenever it was and let down the nets one more time when they had caught nothing all night long. And so I don't know how he did that, but he evidently got it done. And here's the thing. Peter obeyed what Jesus said, and where he had caught nothing, now they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. Verse 4. Wow. The picture changed, didn't it? Peter and his guys were obedient to what God said. In John chapter 21, Jesus looked out there where they were out there, hadn't caught anything all night. You know, here's Peter trying to do his own thing. In John 21, verse 5 and 6, Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, said, no. He said, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they're not able to draw it because of the multitude of fish. Peter obeyed what Jesus said to do. In both instances, as soon as Peter heard what Jesus said, he went to do it. Isn't that interesting? And doing it changed the picture that he was living in. He went from nothing to an abundant supply. Can you see that? Peter's dependence upon what Jesus said was a turning point in his life. He went from nothing to an abundant supply. He went from being a fisherman to being a fisher of men. He went from being at the mercy of circumstances to learning how to walk on top of circumstances. He went from not knowing God and the possibilities of what God can do to experiencing a lot of supernatural things that Jesus led him into. And later on in the book of Acts in the early church, it was amazing what he was able to do. He learned to depend upon what Jesus said, upon what God said. So Peter's dependence on God allowed him to move out of the picture of nothing into the picture of abundant supply and into a new life that he had no idea even existed. And so he became, in the end, he became one of Jesus' main disciples, one of the big three. He became one of the apostles of the Lamb. He wrote several books of the Bible. He became a pillar in the and a leader in the early church, and so we know his life was dramatically changed because he started listening to what God said, and then he went and depended on that and acted accordingly. And listen, my friend, that's exactly where we need to be. And so the question then is this. We see one picture of Peter pursuing his own ideas, living within his natural circumstances, and ending up with nothing. And friend, I hope tonight that that's not where you're at. I don't like the idea of nothing any more than anybody else does. Anybody ever reach in their pocket at the cash register and for their wallet for a method of payment and reached in and came up empty handed. Didn't have it with you. And you had to go put that back. So, I forgot my money. And so I can't get it. And so it was kind of a, you know, not your best moment, you know? And, so we don't like that idea. We don't like that idea, but what can we do to change? Well, let's take some lessons from Peter and let's learn some things. First of all, Peter heard what Jesus said and that changed his circumstances and his life. What Jesus said, now listen to this, what Jesus had said to Peter and what God says to us in his word has the potential to change our lives, to change our circumstances, to change whatever we're facing, to change the amount of whatever we have from little to much to doing nothing to accomplishing a lot. So by hearing what Jesus said, Peter went from doing his own things to doing what God said. And that's where he started experiencing the life that he had never even knew existed. And so we can move from that. Lee Strobel said this, if Jesus is the Son of God, his teachings are more than just good ideas from a wise teacher. They are divine insights on which I can confidently build my life. Say it with me. I can confidently build my life on the teachings of Jesus. They are life-changing. If you just look at this as a book, then you're really not recognizing what it really is. If you start looking at the instructions of Jesus as something from history that Jesus spoke to his disciples back in the day and sounded good, worked for them, but today we're living in different circumstances, and so you know, I need something else, then we're not looking at the Bible and the Word of God like we need to. Listen to me. Have you ever read the Word where it says in Psalms 107 verse 20, he said he sent his Word and healed them? Do you ever let that sink in? You're holding your Bible. Hold your Bible right in front of you, just like this. You don't have to turn there, or your device, whichever one you have, and just realize this. He sent his word. I've got it right here now. And healed them. The healing I need has been sent to me. You understand what I mean? It's the words that are printed in this Bible contain enough power to change my life, to change my circumstances, to bring healing to me. Isn't that amazing? It's not far away, folks. It's very close. He sent his word. Say it with me. He sent his word. Isn't that amazing? So reading the Word of God and allowing it to speak to us as we work and as we endeavor to do what we know to do will cause us to depend upon God during all of this time. And listen, my friend, listen to me. Depending on God while you're doing what you know to do makes all the difference. Relying on Him, trusting in Him. I don't know how I'm going to, I'm at work, I'm doing a good job, I'm depending on my ability to work, my strength, and so forth, but I know that's not enough, so I'm going to not only depend on my strength and my ability, I'm going to depend on God. God, you help me do this work. You strengthen me. You give me wisdom beyond my training. You give me knowledge beyond what I would normally have so that I can do an excellent job. Now I depend on you, God, to supply every need so that I can do a good job. And Father, that paycheck I'm getting, it doesn't seem like it'll be enough, but I'm depending on you. I'm doing what I know to do. How many of you have ever depended on God while you knew what to do, you did what you knew to do, and somehow God brought increase beyond what you were able to do? Isn't that amazing how God, it's that dependence upon God. Don't depend upon yourself, depend on Him while you're working. Now listen to me, when we're talking about depending on God, that doesn't mean that I sit back in the chair and go, find me a comfortable place and make sure I have a big screen in front of me and a remote. you know, and just watch TV and somebody says, what are you doing? I'm dependent on God. No, my friend, that's probably not an accurate picture of what we're doing at that moment. What we're doing is we have gone totally from not depending on anything clear over to depending so much on God that we don't even get up to obey and do what God said. So the thing is, it doesn't mean in depending on God that we're not doing anything. It means while I set my hand to something, I'm depending on Him. Can you see that? Second thing, first one was Peter heard what Jesus said, and that changed his circumstance in his life. Secondly, Peter's response revealed that he now depended upon God. I'm talking about when Jesus said what he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. He said, nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. I mean, he was ready to do it. He didn't question God. It didn't make sense in the natural. It didn't make sense to his fishing crew. It didn't make sense according to everything that he knew about the fishing business. But he said, if Jesus said it, I'm going to go do it. The worst that could happen would be is I've ended up with nothing, but that's what I had anyway, was nothing. So really, I don't have anything to lose. How many of you ever notice that when you get to the place of nothing, following God is really not a risk because you have nothing to lose? Isn't that right? And so his response revealed that he depended. See, his words, your words, reveal where you're at in depending on God, relying upon God, trusting in God. Listen to me. Listen to the words you speak. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He shall bring it to pass. Have you ever felt like you're in over your head? Well, I can tell you this much. You might feel that way, and it might seem like it, but listen to me. If you depend upon God, there is somebody that's holding your rope, somebody that's holding your hand, somebody that is able to bring you out on top. So, in the middle of the pit, in the middle of being in over our heads, in the middle of despair, in the middle of things not working, sometimes you got to make an adjustment, because sometimes the word of God, Jesus' words, caused Peter to change what he was doing. Sometimes we got to change what we're doing too. We got to be willing to make some adjustments. Peter was out there in the second incident. He was out there doing his own thing, and Jesus' words caused him, drew him. The rest of the story is Jesus' words drew him back into fellowship with God and helped him to see that he has a valuable part in the kingdom of God. That what he did was not so bad that God couldn't turn it around and use him again. How many of you, listen to me, my friend, you may be here tonight and you wonder if you can ever do anything great. You shrugged your shoulders and said, I've done a really good job of messing it up and not getting it right time after time. But I want to tell you something tonight. Let me just say this to you. You haven't messed it up so bad that if you'll listen to God's word, that He can't turn that around and use you again. He can use you again. Amen. Thirdly, Peter's dependence upon God enabled him to receive what Jesus said. He went from nothing to receiving an abundant supply. He went from being somebody nobody knew to somebody that was a leader in the church, forever recognized in the Word of God. Somebody famous, somebody that made mistakes, but he didn't give up. Kept listening. Listen, my friend, maybe you've made mistakes, maybe you're in despair, maybe things haven't worked, but keep reading the word. Keep listening. Let this word speak to you again. because it can bring you out of whatever you're in and cause you to be used in a way you hadn't imagined yet. Okay? So here's the thing. The question I'm going to ask is this: are we focused on our own plans and our own strength, doing our own thing, or are we listening to what God tells us to do? Are we responding in agreement with the Word of God? Jesus said to Peter, and another scripture, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Those words changed his life, changed his perspective. Let me finish by saying this. Years ago, I was going to Rhema, second year school. Bills upon bills that I didn't know how to pay. Physical challenges that faced me, life-threatening. And I'm endeavoring to stay in school and feed the family and feed my baby. And you know how, do you ever have circumstances crowd in on you? And you every time you look around, there's no end in sight to the stuff that happens, that's happening. And I remember I was at a prayer meeting one Monday night at the church I was going to at the time. We didn't have Rhema Bible Church at that time. And the lady began to prophesy. And she said, "I see a man. You've got your pockets turned inside out. And your pockets have holes in them." And you shrugged his shoulders and said, "It doesn't matter. Don't have anything to put into it. I have nothing to put into it." And that lady went on to say, inspired by the Holy Spirit, she said, "God is saying you need to change your attitude. You need to change your perspective. You need to listen to what the Word of God has to say, because God wants to do something new in your life." Now, it didn't take long to change your attitude. I knew the moment she started talking, she was talking about me. But I want to tell you something. It didn't take long for me to change my attitude. I went from despair to being dependent upon God. "God, I don't know how. I don't know how to. I prayed the prayers. I prayed. I've called upon you. I've done everything I know to do. I'm working and I'm doing this. I'm obeying. I'm here because you told me to be here. And I'm serving you the best way I know how. I don't know what else to do. I'm here, Lord. I'm depending on you in the name of Jesus. And by faith, I fix the holes in my pockets." And I can tell you, that night I went home with a different perspective, because I heard what the Lord was saying to me. That was a turning point. People started, supernatural things started happening. I mean, we had things happen that were just amazing. We had people pay my tuition. I still don't know who did it. The one guy said he was going to do the last payment. So when the admissions office called and said somebody came and paid all but $15, can you pay $15? And I thought, now why would Jim do that? Jim had plenty of money, and all his tuition and room and board was paid, and by his employer. And so I went, but anyway, I didn't figure it out. I said, "Yeah, I can pay $15. And so I went and paid that. Afterwards, I went to I thanked Jim. I said, "Jim, thank you for making that payment." He said, "I didn't make that payment." He said, "I was going to, but I hadn't got around to it yet." But he said, since I told you I would, I'm going to give you the money anyway." Somebody in the church where we're at anonymously gave us $300. We won $50 worth of groceries at the grocery store. And, we found an earring that was solid gold with sapphires laying on the floor in the store where I worked at. We waited and waited several weeks, and nobody came to claim it. And so finally, the boss gave it to me, not to wear, but, But, you know, so I took it down to this, you know, those places where they redeem silver and gold and got some money and for it and just one thing after another. And let me say this to you. When we left town in July of after graduation to go pastor a church, let me tell you, we left town with more money in hand than when we came. God can turn your circumstances around as you depend on Him. Stand to your feet if you would. Father, we thank you. Bless these people tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for anybody that is in despair over their circumstances right now. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, let your hand of compassion reach down upon them. Father, as they reach a hand up to you, say, God, you got to help me. I don't know how. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how it'll work, but please help me. Father, I thank you that you reach down a hand of compassion. And as they cry out and they say, God, I want to depend on you, that your hand takes hold of their hand and you lift them up. You lift them out of the circumstances and set their feet on solid foundation, a solid rock. In the name of Jesus, the Word of God that never fails, that always prevails, in the name of Jesus. Thank you now, Father. Those that don't have enough and are facing lack, don't know how to get past that, I encourage you, go ahead and do what you know to do. Make adjustments if you need to. But in the meantime, start depending on God. God can move you forward. And even if you've messed up tonight, if you've messed up and you've been sitting there thinking, I've messed up, God can't use me much anymore because I've messed it up at least 9 times. I want to tell you something. God is not giving up on you. God wants to take you by the hand and show you what he can do through a person who depends upon him. Would you lift your hands, Father, in the name of Jesus? Thank you now. Bless these people. Help these people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, I trust this helped you as much as it did me, because it certainly has helped me. This particular insight into the scriptures has helped me tremendously. If you're here tonight and you have need of prayer in some area of life, we have some prayer counselors right up there at the top. They're waving their hands right there. And if you'll go to them after the service, they'll have a place of prayer for you. And so if you need prayer for anything, then go up there and go to them. You can go out of your seat and go to them now if you like. And first-time guests, we're thankful that you're here tonight. We trust that something that was said ministered to you and helped you and encouraged you. And so we hope that you will be back, that this will be a make this your church home. And just want to say this to you. You have come at a time when it's unique. We don't have pews down here, but by next Sunday, there'll be some pews down here. And the picture will be changing. Praise the Lord. And so we welcome you. And so the connection team, if you go find your first time guest and take them and get them that gift as a special a gift that we have put together as a way of saying thank you for being here tonight. Let's give our first time guest a great big hand, if you would, please. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. Don't forget Wednesday night right here. And we look forward to hearing Pastor Hagin again next Sunday. And I think he's here on Wednesday night, as far as I know. And so go depending upon God. And we know that God will change your life. God bless you for coming tonight. Shake hands with somebody. Let them know that you're depending upon God. God bless you.